We are doing a little bit of a different show today. We are here with Dylan, and Dylan is going to walk us through his high school experiences and really just like young adulthood with substance use exposure. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Dylan?
I am DB, and I'm 21 years old.
Where did you go to high school, DB?
I went to Ridgeview High School.
We want to know about your substance use education in elementary school. We're going to want to know about kind of your early years in life, how your views on drugs and alcohol were shaped by your home life, by elementary school, your experiences in junior high, things like that. So can you share with us a little bit about the first time you remember hearing about drugs?
First time I remember hearing about drugs was probably around 5, whenever one of our neighbors would smoke, and it was just tobacco, but we were taught like that was disgusting, even repulsive, and that we shouldn't like people who smoke.
You were told you shouldn't like people who smoke?
That's how we felt about them.
That's pretty intense. So who was the person teaching you this?
You know, I think the don't smoke thing just kind of came from, you know, parents and the sort of like this repulsion came from, you know, my brothers and, you know, people who are young with me at the time.
Was it tobacco as a drug, drugs are bad and that's disgusting? Or
I don't even know if I was aware of other drugs besides tobacco.
So tobacco is gross. If you smoke tobacco, you're disgusting?
Yes.
You mentioned that your brothers sort of talked about substances with you. How many brothers do you have?
I have 3 brothers.
3 brothers. Are they older or younger?
It's a mix. You know, the ones who had an impression on me were the older ones.
Okay. And so 1, 2 older brothers?
2.
Excellent. And how much older?
2 and 4 years.
Okay. And so as you started becoming aware of substances more than tobacco, would you say they were the people talking to you about that, or was that coming from a different source?
It was probably from a mixture of maybe just like pop culture and the people around me, other students, friends.
When you're introduced to the whole tobacco is bad thing, you're 5, so that's the beginning of elementary school. Was there anything in your elementary school that you recalled? Did they talk about the whole tobacco stuff, you know, during Red Ribbon Week or Just Say No? Or was anything else introduced to you?
I don't, at that time, no, not that I recall. I do remember having another student who would come to school smelling like smoke. And for that reason, I'd feel kind of sort of disdain towards them when, you know, obviously it wasn't their fault, but you know, that's just how I viewed it.
That's how you thought of it, that's how you were
just your perception.
Yeah.
Like, that's disgusting and you're disgusting even though you're a kid and you don't know that you smell that way probably.
Right, well, and that's really helpful to keep in mind for us is whenever we're educating and stigmatizing substances, like we're adding that stigma not only to users themselves, but their children.
Right.
That's really important and a great point. So that was whenever you were 5. When was the next experience in school for you with substances? Drugs, alcohol, or tobacco?
I can't name any major occurrences until maybe junior high.
Okay. Did you guys do DARE or any sort of drug prevention education in elementary school? Did you have any curriculum?
We didn't do any DARE. Junior high, we did have sort of no drug campaigns, so just the typical stay free, drug free posters around school.
Do you remember what you thought about those?
I mean, they didn't educate you on drugs at all. It just told you not to do them.
It just kind of
felt stupid.
Was it like, here's this dumb activity, but we think it's fun that you're gonna do, but we're not giving you any solid information about anything, we're just telling you don't do it?
Pretty much. It was literally just don't do drugs, not anything about the drugs themselves. I do remember in health class, in junior high, we did start to kind of go over drugs, but they were just sort of fear campaigns.
Mm-hmm. So what would you have wanted those to be? What information did you want to know at that point?
Or did you want to know anything at that point?
Right.
Looking back at it, I would say that I didn't even know what these drugs were. And I feel like all drugs were just kind of painted with a broad stroke of they're all equally bad.
Right.
Which I definitely don't agree with now.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that kind of breaks up any trust students would have with teachers. I guess I would just want to be more informed about the effects in a way that was, that led you to make your own decisions about it instead of them telling you what to think.
That makes sense. That's good. Do we do that when we say substances? Describe everything that's us, right? He's talking about us.
Yeah.
Talking about us. Okay. So after that, you know, unit in health class in junior high, did you and your friends talk about drugs at all or alcohol? Was that something that your social group was talking about?
I don't think anything ever seriously. I think the first time I actually ran into marijuana was towards the end of junior high. One of my friends got busted with it and they were expelled.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
What were your thoughts on that? Of your friend, the one who got expelled?
I didn't exactly feel like it was fair, especially because it was about a month before graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me also felt bad because I inadvertently got him caught for it, but that's
okay. So the truth comes out. Tell us about that.
I didn't use my locker the entire year, so I had no clue where it was. I just had a general idea of where it was, and I just had the vice principal at the time go through unlocking random lockers to see if they were mine, and he opened one that contained like a pill bottle with wrapping papers inside of it and marijuana. And they had me sort of testify, like give my statement of what happened. And, you know, after I gave my statement, my friend walks in. Somebody I walk to school with most mornings.
Oh no! Did you know that he used marijuana?
I don't think I really knew. I mean, it's not something that surprised me.
Okay. So not something that you had engaged in a conversation with or used with him or anything like that?
No.
So that's your last week or last month of junior high that that happens. And so other than feeling guilt, you said you weren't surprised. So did you know of a lot of students that were smoking weed, or was that just something that you could see him personally do?
It's just something I could see him personally doing it. I feel like weed didn't really take off, especially my knowledge of it, until we reached high school. You know, it was kind of a big deal whenever it happened in junior high, but by the time you get to high school, it's nothing. Everybody's smoking, and I mean, you just walk into PE and the locker room smells like it. So.
Okay, so is that your next exposure to substances, is PE in high school?
Yeah, it's just, you know, high school overall.
High school overall. Okay, so it's been a really, really long time since we were in high school. Tell us a little bit about what that environment's like.
Specifically?
So specifically with regards to how you guys talked about drugs, how that was viewed, whether or not it was something that was casual or it still had that, oh my gosh, can you believe they smoke sort of mentality? What was it like?
I would even say, you know, the transition from going to middle school to, oh my God, found this, to high school itself. So how does that transition even work to where nobody's doing it and then now everybody's doing it and it's so casual?
Exactly.
I kind of feel like it didn't feel dramatic. I mean, I think whenever you're going through school, like random shifts and what's popular, like that happen all the time.
Okay.
As far as education, I took health class again, and it was a little bit better as far as going more in depth, but, you know, still it didn't really tell you anything about what drugs were. It was still more of fear-mongering, and, you know, the story was just don't do them.
Mm-hmm.
Under any circumstances.
Can you help us understand a little bit what the fear-mongering looks like? What would that curriculum look like?
All they really would tell you about it was just, you know, effects of it, like just all the negative side effects, you know, people who, it was kind of a cause and effect. You do it, you end up, you know, a washout.
Okay. So kind of like almost the scare tactics of not even, this is what happens to your body, but yeah, this is how it will affect your life.
Like, it's a slippery slope. You do it, and it's going to ruin you.
Got it. Okay, so not in the broad generalizations of everyone was doing it, can you tell us about your experience through high school with marijuana? When was the first time that you remember personally knowing someone who smoked or being offered marijuana?
I don't think I was ever really offered marijuana in high school. I was just with a different group of kids, I guess.
So it like, wasn't offered?
I was in all the gate classes with all the nerdy kids who don't touch that stuff.
And is that really how it was? Was it like nerdy kids don't smoke?
It was, yeah. It was mostly like the athletes and, you know, like just the lower, I don't want, like kind of, the lower class levels, the people who didn't seem to care as much about how they're perceived by, you know, the school.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, because to say that because you're in higher classes, you don't do that, that can be considered a protective factor as to why you aren't doing that.
Right.
You guys are involved in other things. You have a lot of load on you. Mm-hmm. But to say that it doesn't happen there, I don't know if that's a completely true statement, because that could be a
We did ask him about his personal specific experience.
Obviously.
So that's
and my experience, like kind of the high level classes where people more focused on school, and then the lower classes where just, you know, people more focused on social lives. And
and when you say classes, you actually mean like performance level classes. You're not talking about rich kids versus poor kids, right?
Yes.
So you're going from AP, college prep, and general classes. You're talking about those general classes.
We had PACAT, Richie, which was just, you know, the people you are in classes with are the people you stay with. So, you know, that's kind of another reason as to why our classes weren't super exposed to it, is because it was always just the same group of people.
You were kind of insulated.
It's interesting, too, though, that you say that it was a lot of the athletes as well, because they make the perception of athletes is that they're held to, you know, a certain standard, sometimes even a higher standard than the rest of the people at school. And then, you know, whoever wants to take that serious or even go professional, it's a serious, serious thing. So,
and we think about sports specifically as a very strong protective factor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, am I?
You're like, that's not my experience.
I think, like, some of the best athletes who have the most,
You saying that, though, I would almost say, I don't even know if this is a right statement to be able to say, but they almost kind of get away with it because of what they do, because of who they are.
Do you think that would be a fair...
That's fair, because there's definitely times where, like, some of the top athletes would come to school and the security would know they had marijuana in their backpacks, and they would just tell them, don't come with it tomorrow.
And I don't
they still did.
So wait, how do you know that security knew? Like, did they get searched and marijuana was found on them? Or how do you know that?
I guess just gossip.
Oh, fascinating.
But I mean, I don't mean to sound corny either, but if you watch an episode of All American, like, that's exactly what he's describing in real life.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a little cliche.
You know it is, but...
They're there for a reason, I guess.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about marijuana. Do you know, or did you have any personal experience with other substances in high school, or was it pretty strictly marijuana?
It was just marijuana. I did smoke cigars, so I guess tobacco as well.
So when did that change come about to where, tobacco, disgusting, to like, let me try this cigar.
It's really interesting that cigars were a choice for a high school kid as opposed to cigarettes or anything else. Why cigars, and how did that come about?
I still kind of had the perception that cigarettes were gross, and I guess I still kind of hold that.
So we need to be more specific when we're educating.
You're inhaling, you're exhaling, and it's okay.
I mean, cigars probably worse for you, but I think it's just in my mind, it's the fact that it's something that I wouldn't be doing as often. Like, it's something I did pretty occasionally. And overall, I think there might be a whole, like, this is sort of classy while this is...
That's really interesting, that because that is true. Like, the perception of cigars being grown up and not gross, whereas cigarettes are, you know, for kids and they're trashy, mm-hmm. right? So when did you start smoking cigars?
I'm not sure. I think it was, I'm going to say it's around freshman year, because I think I smoked cigars before I ever smoked marijuana.
And where did you get a cigar from?
From my family. There was just, my mom would smoke with a family friend, and he would let us try it, and so I liked them, so I just kind of, whenever they were smoking, I would hang around with them.
Mm-hmm. So your mom was okay with you?
Yeah, it was one of those, she was okay with us trying things.
Was there a conversation of, you only try this once and it's okay, or you can try it, you can try whatever you want?
I think my mom kind of had a different view, where she thought, like, you should, like, it's okay to try it and you know what it is, but, like, don't abuse it, don't make it a habit.
Was that a conversation or an assumption?
That was kind of just an assumption, I suppose.
And did that logic hold true? Did smoking with her and her friend mean that you didn't smoke with your friends, or did it make it seem like something that was okay?
I didn't smoke with my friends. I mean, I'm sure I would have if they, you know, if they smoked cigars.
When you and the other 14-year-olds hit a cigar lounge.
Okay, so you were smoking cigars, but then you also mentioned that the class or the pack that you were in, they weren't doing those things. So is this something that you talked to them about, or was this something you did separate, or...
I talked to them about it. I think I just, like, shared my experience with them.
And what were their thoughts on?
I think they probably thought it was interesting or maybe even cool, but that's... It's never, like, they were going to get into it, too.
It was cool.
I think they just
kind of,
I think they kind of just lacked access to it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of, we're focusing in on smoking here. I don't want to lead you too much, but it's interesting that alcohol hasn't come up. Nobody was drinking. That was, I mean, I've never known anybody to smoke a cigar without alcohol.
I guess I did drink as well. It was just never high quantities. I don't think I really... trying to remember when I got drunk for the first time. It was probably around the same time. It was just like my mom left a bottle of liquor in the cabinet, and one day I just was curious and wanted to see.
Okay, and when you say around the same time, so that's freshman year? When is it? Because you said
freshman to sophomore year, probably.
Okay. Okay, so like 14 or 15?
Yeah.
13 or 14? When there was alcohol, whenever you took the alcohol from the cabinet at home, were you drinking alone?
Yes.
Yeah, and you drank until you were drunk?
Yes.
And what did you think about that?
I suppose it was... I mean, I enjoyed the experience. It's not... I kind of more of used it for... It's not something I would do a lot. Mostly because I don't want it to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, occasionally I kind of use it as a coping mechanism whenever I was feeling sad or something.
Okay. So would you say that this first time it was because you were sad, or it was just something to do? Were you bored?
This first time I think I was just curious. I think I had seen my brother and my uncle both get drunk from the cabinet once. And then, mm-hmm. you know...
The same ones that said tobacco was disgusting?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I thought I'd try my hand at it.
And so, were you just drinking straight liquor, or were you mixing it with something?
It was just straight liquor. Yeah, I didn't have access to anything nice, and what I was drinking actually tasted terrible. It was one of the worst liquors I've had to date.
So, it was something to do, you were curious, and you liked the experience of being drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, then moving forward, how often would you say you drink? And did you drink just to get drunk, or would you drink casually?
I would drink just to get drunk. That was about the destination for me.
So where did that shift come in to where I'm curious to know this is a coping mechanism for me?
I think it was like probably a fairly big gap between when I tried again, and it's just like I would kind of, when I got sad or, you know, I was having issues, it was just like one of those, why not, like.
Mm-hmm. And did anyone else in your house know about this? Did your mom know or your brothers know?
Not until probably senior year when I got caught.
You got caught. Okay, tell me about that.
I'd gotten into, I think, a big argument with my girlfriend, so I was home all day, and I just decided to go ahead and drink, and then I had probably gotten drunker than I'd ever been before, and it was to the point where, like, I couldn't even really stand on my feet,
mm-hmm.
and so it just kind of got to where I couldn't hide it, and then my girlfriend took me out of my house,
mm-hmm.
and then eventually passed me off to some of my family members.
And was your family upset with you? Is this something you talked about?
The people who were helping me understood, like, they'd all been through it. My mom was upset for sure.
Okay, so your mom did find out?
Yes.
And did she talk to you about drinking or alcohol after that happened?
It was more of a, I better not see it again, and go dump out all the liquor in the cabinets.
I had a question about that, the liquor in the cabinets. So were your mom's cabinets constantly stocked with liquor?
It was just one of those things, like somebody would get a bottle and it was never really, like, they might try a little bit of it, but
okay.
It was just forgotten in the cabinet, so.
And because I also wanted to ask, you mentioned that you saw, like, uncles, brothers going into the cabinets, and that's what made you curious. So, were they casual drinkers, or was there any alcoholism there?
No, I think they just, I only saw them do it probably once, maybe twice. It wasn't a common occurrence with them either.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your parents' relationship with alcohol. Bianca just asked about, you know, your uncles and brothers, but your mom's reaction of, don't let me see it again, how did she feel about drinking in general?
I mean, she was a glass of wine a day type of person, so she was a bit fearful of alcoholism because it kind of runs in the family.
When you say runs in your family, who in your family is an alcoholic?
Mm-hmm.
My dad was,
okay.
And I've had I have an uncle or two. I have a couple of uncles who, you know, indulge a little bit too much in it.
Okay, so dad's not in the picture during any of this time?
Correct.
Okay.
So how long has dad not been in the picture for?
Since I was in fourth grade.
Okay, so do you personally remember him being an alcoholic, or do you just know that that's why your mom's fearful?
I don't remember, but I know that's why my mom was fearful.
And you say you have uncles that overindulge and you would classify them as alcoholics. Is that something that's openly acknowledged in your family? Is it something of concern?
It's something of concern in my family, but I don't think a lot was really done about it.
Okay.
It wasn't like an intervention type thing. It was just, you know.
Kind of swept under the rug.
Yeah.
When your mom had that conversation with you, were those examples she gave, or was it just don't do this again?
I think my dad was brought up, but I think mostly it was just, she was just upset with me for doing it.
Okay, and so knowing that history and knowing family attitudes toward alcohol, how does that make you personally feel about drinking? Is that a deterrent for you? Is it something of concern?
No, I don't think so. I've never felt very dependent on substances. I've never really had interests in it besides maybe socially.
Okay, so for you it's fun?
Yeah.
Okay. So what about those times when you're drinking because you're sad?
Well, I didn't really do that after that incident. I think
okay.
I learned my lesson well enough, but like kind of in high school, it was more of me experimenting with myself because, like I said, like most of the students I was with didn't really do it. It wouldn't be until I kind of got out of high school that it was more, like, I started going to parties and it was more of a social thing.
I do want to ask real quick, you said you learned your lesson. What about that experience really drove that home for you? What made it stick?
I think it was, I'm not completely sure. I guess there's a couple things. For one, like, a lot of the people who had helped me got in trouble. So it was kind of seeing that my actions affected others, as well as I think a big part of the issue was my relationship at the time. It's just something I felt like, I guess I just knew there was other ways to cope that didn't really affect other people.
That's a great statement, because when you're in high school, a lot of you don't really think about how they're affecting other people. Yeah. So I would say that there's a lot of maturity even in your high school, you know, age. I mean, not just because you smoked cigars, but, you know, just overall maturity to be able to be like, what I'm doing is affecting the people that care about me and that I care about. I don't want to do this anymore. But how did that shift to out of high school? So did you go to college, or was
I went to CSUB for 2, maybe 3 years.
Okay.
And I don't think there was a whole lot of drug use there either. Mostly my college experience was, you know, go to school, go home.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like mostly I was just focused on school more than maintaining a social life.
So when does the social aspect of I do this with friends come in?
It was probably after college, whenever I switched from going to school to just working.
At CSUB, did they ever have any campaigns or anything hung up or anything in class that discussed substances or mental health or help or anything like that that you can recall?
I wasn't super involved in campus life. I'm sure there was, but I don't recall seeing anything.
As a typical student, you didn't really encounter substances or substance use prevention at Cal State, but you said at work that's something you came across.
Yeah.
So how old were you whenever that started being on your radar at work?
Probably 20.
20. Okay, so just recently.
Yeah.
Okay, and what type of work do you do?
I work at fast food.
You work at fast food?
Yeah.
So tell us about that exposure.
I was like invited to social gatherings from coworkers, and so I'd go, and you know, there is alcohol and marijuana involved, so I just kind of partook in it.
So at this point it's offered to you, or it's just a
underlying thing? Yeah, it's offered to me.
Okay.
Okay, and so if you're 20, are these people that are older that can legally acquire alcohol?
It's a mix. There's okay. Some older, and there's some who are even younger than 18.
Can you give me a better understanding of the age range? Like, how much is older and how young is younger?
I mean, there was people who were working out of high school. I don't typically see them at the parties, though. So we're talking 17 to 25, 26.
At these parties, is there any discussion of who's doing what? Or is it just accepted that if you're at the party, it's okay to drink and okay to smoke?
It's just accepted here that it's okay.
And how did that feel the first time you went to one of those parties?
I guess it was nice to have some access to it. Okay. But I think it was a little unusual being around other people and whether it was okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, like, it could fall back. If we were to get caught, it would affect the people who brought the liquor.
I love your thought process. I'm sorry. I love the thought process of, like, this can hurt people. You don't hear that at all from young adults. Mm-hmm. Very often. It's more like, how can I get this? How can I get this? So I love that perspective of, like, you can get in trouble, but thanks.
Yeah, but it was just something, like, it was something they were okay with, so.
Do you know how they access it? I mean, obviously the alcohol, they're old enough, they can get it, but, like, the marijuana?
I'm not sure about the marijuana. I think it was probably legal.
So this is our PSA. We live in Kern County.
Right.
So in Kern County, within county boundaries, there is not legal marijuana. There is a moratorium. So the only legal retail in Kern County is in Cal City. They're the only jurisdiction that has said we will allow retail marijuana shops. The caveats to that are independent growth. So you're allowed to have plants under California statute, mm-hmm. and delivery. It can come from a legal retailer outside of Kern County and be delivered. So all the marijuana shops that you see, like in Oildale, down Rosedale Highway, all of those are not legally mm-hmm. operating shops. Like it has the feeling of being legal because right. in California it's legal, but it's still federally illegal, and there's a county moratorium that is not supposed to be there. So it's accessible, but that doesn't necessarily make it legal. That's our PSA. Like, it's totally acceptable that you think it's legal. I understand that. Like, that's fine. It's very accessible. So you think they probably just purchased it from a shop?
Yeah, I think either that or somebody purchased it for them.
Got it. Okay.
I have known people who've grown it or gotten it from somebody who grows it.
Okay, and were those people that you knew through work and parties, or is that a different social avenue?
Yeah, from work.
From work.
What were your views on marijuana when you first decided to try it?
I think I felt like it felt risky, but knowing that the people were doing it around me were doing it, it wasn't I wasn't fearful of it. I wasn't really worried about anything other than getting caught.
So the risk was getting caught and what the consequences were, not the physical consequences to you and yes. your body.
And when you're smoking, I'm assuming it's in somebody's home because it's at parties, right?
Right.
Is that fair? Okay. And then do you view drinking and driving the same way you would view smoking and driving?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're against both?
Yes.
Okay, so at these parties when people were drinking and people were smoking, how did they get home? Was that something that you were aware of?
Some of them had designated drivers. It's not, I didn't know everybody's.
Right, no, of course.
Some of them had designated drivers there. Some of them Ubered.
Okay.
So and that some would just wait it out.
So that was a conversation that was happening with how to get home safely and how to not drink.
Yeah, I think they were all concerned about people making it home safe.
That's excellent. That's really good to hear.
Did you have something set up when you knew you were going to go to these parties?
I think one of the first ones of them, I just waited it out. And, you know, I wasn't super familiar. Yeah, I was both smoking and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't that familiar with marijuana because I hadn't smoked it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly doing both at the same time was kind of new. And so I wasn't as sober as I thought I was when I woke up. And so it was kind of an interesting ride home that kind of made me rethink about how I was going to get home the next time I did it.
Were these thoughts instilled in you, or was that something you learned in school, or how do you come up with these perceptions of self, like, this is wrong?
I think most of it comes from family.
The first time that you used marijuana, you said you were a little bit apprehensive. I'm assuming it's something that happened more than once?
Yeah.
So, after that first time, was there ever any apprehension there, ever any concern, or was it just kind of a thing that you did?
I think there was still, like, while I was warming up to it, I was still kind of worried about it, but definitely not as much as the first time. And today, if I was doing it, or if I was doing it a year ago, I'm not really worried about it either.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just one of those things that nobody really cares. Everybody does.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time when smoking marijuana has negatively impacted your life?
So recently, I've been planning on going to the military, and at work, a friend offered me his pen, and so I hit it, and my recruiter later asked about substance use, and mm-hmm. I told him about it, and, you know, it's still federally illegal, so
mm-hmm.
I have to wait. Well, at the time, he told me I had to wait 45 days before I can go complete the rest of my paperwork, because if I fail my drug test, I'm you know, I'm out of the military. Right. I can't get any jobs with the military.
So that's a good example of someone who still cares. The federal government still cares. That's good to keep in mind. So I want to break down what you just said a little bit. You said a coworker offered you a pin and you hit it. So I'm assuming that's a wax pen?
I'm not completely sure.
Okay, was it like a vape?
Yeah. It was like a vape, yeah.
Okay, so it's a vape. Did you know what was in it when you
smoked? Yeah, I knew it was marijuana, but I guess I wasn't so sure about everything that's in it, so.
So you knew that there was some form of THC in it, right?
Yes.
Okay, and are you at work when this is happening?
Yeah.
Is this someone that you've partied with before?
No. You know, it was just a slow day, and he's kind of a big smoker, so.
Uh-huh.
We're just trying to, I guess it was just something to get through the day.
See, that's so interesting to me because I definitely don't want to sound judgmental because I really appreciate you sharing that with us. But when you say it's everywhere and people are doing it all the time, you literally mean it's everywhere and people doing it all the time.
Yeah, this person who offered it to me was, I think he recently turned 18, so.
Oh, okay.
So is there an understanding that we smoke, or is it just like, I'm going to offer it to you and see what you say about it? Like, how does that work?
Right. So if I was in my workplace and I was looking at Bianca and I was like, hey, you want to hit this? She would think I was crazy and she would report me to HR.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's a very different environment. So help us understand a little bit how that conversation starts.
I think you definitely have to know the people that's offering it to you. Don't accept things from strangers.
Would there be a person who you offered it to that would have a problem with it?
I'm not going to go offer it to my boss.
Okay. So really within reason, no.
No.
Okay.
Most of the people at my work, like, I'm very comfortable with, and we're all kind of close.
That's kind of nice that you have that support system.
Yeah.
If it's acceptable to smoke at work, then I'm assuming it's acceptable to be high at work.
If you don't get caught, everything's okay.
Okay, and that's another question for me. So, aren't there cameras in your workplace?
Yes, but there's also places where the cameras don't hit, so.
Okay,
see, so this is what's blowing my mind right now, is it's like, it's just something that's accepted, but also, you had to be told, like, I'm assuming you're not, like, full-on James Bond examining where the cameras are, so someone had to teach you, like, this is a thing we do at work, and this is where we do it. So how did that happen?
Well, I think everybody there just, it's one of the first things you learn is where the cameras are. You know, if you want to go on your phone or
you're not learning the register? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's your first day.
If you need a minute, like, this is where you can take it without being called out by any of the higher ups or getting in trouble for it.
Okay.
That's so interesting.
It starts with something like cell phone use, right? Like, you're not going to tell the new guy, this is where we smoke weed. It's going to be like, this is where you can use your cell phone. Yeah. And then how long until you tell him this is also where we smoke weed?
I don't think, well, so I guess there we use our cell phones and we actually use the freezer or the fridge to do it. Because obviously you don't want the smoke to be seen.
That's so smart. Obviously you don't want the smoke to be seen, right? I hadn't even considered. Like, yeah, okay. So your boss doesn't know you're doing this, but literally everybody else at work does.
I wouldn't say she doesn't know. I mean, I could name a couple coworkers.
There's so many unspoken things here.
It's a whole culture we're trying to unravel.
I could say a couple people that I think most people know. They show up to work high daily.
And are they able to do their jobs high?
Yes.
Okay. Fully functioning.
Yeah. And I'm not super, like, I don't know a whole lot about marijuana.
Right.
But, you know, my friend, the one who offered it to me, you know, they tell me that there's different strands, or just different types, and they do different things. And, you know, the one that he offered me was, like, a day use. Like, it's meant to be used while you're being productive or just going throughout your day. So it's not going to...
So you did have a conversation about what was in the pen then?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Okay, and he told you that it was something that you could use during your day and it wouldn't affect you?
Yeah.
Okay, was there anything else he told you about that?
I think mostly just to be... I don't think he really said anything about it. I had hit another coworker's pen, and before, so this one kind of, like, this one I wasn't going to be able to work on, the other one I hit, so I was a little bit cautious about not overdoing it.
Okay, so whenever you said that you wouldn't be able to work, so did you have to leave? Did you hit it at work and then you had a problem?
I hit it before I left work.
Okay.
So you didn't recall the conversation that you had with him at the time until, like, bringing it up right now. So did any of what he said resonate with you? Or is it, like, looking back, like, well, actually, I did have this really probably important conversation?
Nothing besides, you know, him just telling me, like, about the different, you know, effects different weed, different types of weed has.
Mm-hmm. So let me pose to you something that we work with on a regular basis. So something that we're very concerned about in the prevention world is black market marijuana. Mm-hmm. So we all know about, like, oils that you put in pens and things like that that are marijuana distillates. They're refined from the marijuana plant, but there is no plant matter in them. And that's the thing that you would smoke out of, like, a vape. So whether it's wax or some other form of THC, right? One of the things that we work really hard on is making sure people know the dangers of counterfeit versions of those. So something that somebody made in their garage and whenever you smoke it, it's going to collapse your lungs, right? Because there are those products on the market that are very, very dangerous. When we're doing this education, we talk about what to look for on packaging and things like that. But if we're talking to people that, you know, you're just hitting a pen that your friend has, which for you has been multiple times, right? Like, you don't have your own pen, right? Okay, so you're really just smoking what somebody gives you. How would we go about talking to you? Because you never saw packaging. You don't know what's in your pen. How would we make sure you stayed safe? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, like you were saying, would have been, like, I would have listened to you if you were just telling me, like, I know personally there's not. There can be marijuana laced with other things.
Right.
I think we had a student at Ridgeview while I was going there that had a heart attack from it. So I'm aware of the issue. So I would listen if you were telling me, like, what to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not.
So, but then how do I tell you that without telling you get your own pen and smoke only your own stuff? I mean,
because how are you so sure that what you're being offered is what you're being offered? You just have that much trust in your coworkers because you did say you guys are very tight knit.
Right.
So you just have that trust that what they're getting is solid and not going to affect you.
One of them, I feel, is very knowledgeable overall about marijuana. I mean, he wants to open up his own shop. The other one, you know, they tell me they'd gotten it from a shop, so I guess I kind of felt like, because it was like a brick and mortar place, that I trusted its products more and that it was going to sell some of the better quality stuff.
Okay, so I guess that totally makes sense to me, because we were trying to drill down to that without telling you why we were interested in knowing how you knew what was in the pen. That is a conversation you had, and that is something that you talked about. And that's totally acceptable to ask, what am I about to smoke? Like, that's not uncomfortable to ask.
Is that a norm? Or is that just a norm for you?
I think it's a norm.
About who comes around, like the new people who come in, you know, people who might be invited by other friends or coworkers and stuff. Is that something that is a norm?
I think it definitely depends on the person. Like, I would expect most adults to probably ask what's in it or to know what they're putting in their body. But like, as a high school student, I'm sure they just take what they can get.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the answer, is we need to be normalizing, ask what's in the pen.
Right.
Okay.
That's actually really, I didn't think about that prior to this, so I'm kind of like.
Because whenever we do that education, we're talking as if you're the person buying it, but we hadn't even considered that most people are sharing. Like, it's a community, and it's something you do with your friends, right? Mm-hmm. That's really helpful for us to know.
I have another question, though, back to your workspace.
We're fascinated by your workspace.
Yes. If you guys are able to tell, like, when a coworker comes in and they're high, how do you keep that from your customers? Have there ever been any experience with a customer, like, acknowledging that one of the employees is high?
Not anything big. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of, if one of the customers noticed. I mean, I'm back of the house, so I don't deal with the customers so much.
Mm-hmm.
But there are front of the house people who have been high at work, and I've noticed people who are high at work. And like I said, I think it's just something that's so generally accepted. It's not like somebody's going to go say anything about it.
Right. So is there a reason you wouldn't want to be high at work? Like, is there any deterrent to doing that? Because it sounds like it makes your work day go faster and it makes it more entertaining. Like, does it make it harder? Is it more difficult to balance things? Like, what's the negative of that?
I don't think it always makes your day go by faster. It certainly makes it more enjoyable. But, you know, the last one I did, it actually kind of made the day go by slower. As far as deterrence, like, when I'm working with a lot of hot oil and stuff.
Okay.
So that's why, like, and, you know, whenever I have to clean, like, a deep fryer or something, I'm scrubbing it without protective equipment, even though it's provided.
Okay.
So, like, if I do something dumb, I could easily burn myself pretty badly. Okay. So that's why I was, like, that's why I kind of ask about, and I'm aware of just how much the effect of it's going to be.
So you're operating heavy machinery, essentially, and you want to make sure that you're not going to die.
Yeah, because, right. You know, if somebody's high at work, that's not an issue, but if they get injured while high at work, that's going to be a big issue.
Why is it going to be a big issue?
Because on one hand, the company is going to take care of you and, you know, cover your medical expenses, but...
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know it's commonplace at a lot of workplaces that they'll drug test you.
Got it.
If they're going to give you money.
We just didn't discuss you wanting to go to the military and whether you stopped using knowing that you had to stop for 45 days.
Well, I took an oath that I wouldn't, but... Let's be honest, the recruiter's lying to me and I'm lying to the recruiter, so...
Okay.
But, it's just, like, sort of a for-the-record thing. Okay. You have to be very specific about, at least for what I'm going for, you have to be very specific about your answers. And mm-hmm. if you say something, they're gonna ask you again later, and you better say the same thing. So, for instance, whenever he asked if I'd ever smoked, I'd said yes. And he asked me... how many times would I, like, he asked for an estimate, and I told him less than 10, but he wants a specific answer, so I told him 7, and he told me to remember that number, because they're gonna ask me, if they ever ask me it again, it better be 7.
So it's kind of like whenever you're downloading an app, and it says, do you agree to the terms of service, and did you read this contract, and you just say yes.
You must be so-and-so years old.
Right, and somebody thinks that's really, really important, but we kind of just breeze through it. It's sort of that same way for you. Like, you recognize that somebody thinks it's really important that you're not smoking marijuana, but you're not that person, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, my recruiter, it's definitely, he told me he's seen a lot of people get kicked out for... substance use.
And but that wasn't enough for you to be like, I'm going to take this 45 days.
No, I am going to take the 45 days. There's no reason to risk it. But is that going to stop me from using it? If I'm on vacation, I know it's going to be a couple weeks before I go back in. I'm probably going to use it.
Okay, and just to be totally clear, you're scared of the rules, not health consequences or any negative anything to your life other than enforcement, correct?
Yeah, as far as marijuana is concerned. And it's not even like I'm super worried about the rules. I have to be cautious about it
mm-hmm.
and be smart about it, but it's not like I'm fearful.
Mm-hmm. So we spent most of our time talking about alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. Have you ever been exposed to any other drugs in your life, or has it really been those three?
I haven't personally, but I know people who've been exposed to like cocaine and...
And how do you know those people? Are they people you went to school with, or...?
Friends. Yeah. People who I went to school with. People related to me. Just the people I know in general.
Just the people you know. But it's never been something that was offered to you, or that affected you in any way?
I've never been to a party or anything with harder drugs.
Got it. I really appreciate you sharing with us your experiences through school and through employment. Like, this is really, really helpful for us because we just live in a completely different world. So we're almost speaking different languages here. But part of that is the terminology that we're using. So whenever we refer to drugs, we're talking about cannabis, marijuana, or substances. Those are the words we use. You're saying things like smoke to mean marijuana, pen, things like that. How do people in your life refer to marijuana?
I think marijuana is just, you know, I feel like it's not typically used. It's just
people don't say marijuana,
yeah,
right? So what are they saying?
Obviously, weed is pretty common.
Okay.
Generally, like if somebody asks you to go smoke, in my experience, they mean, you know, weed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say so, smoke, are they referring to the pens? Are they referring to the substance itself? How does that vary, or does it vary at all?
I think, like smoke, you're gonna be smoking something that's been rolled, and
okay.
You know, if they, like if they're offering you a pen, they're gonna ask you if you want to hit a pen.
And so then, it would be almost referred to by its delivery method, and then that would be the part where you had to ask what was in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about edibles? Has that ever been?
I've never tried edibles, actually.
Have they been offered to you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you know people that do edibles?
Oh, you know what? I may have been offered once, but I was working, so. Yes.
What's the difference for you personally for choosing not to eat an edible versus hitting someone's pen or smoking it?
Just all depends on, you know, time and place and how I'm gonna get home. Or so,
okay.
Like, if I'm driving, I'm probably not gonna.
But if you're on vacation, is that something?
Vacation
that,
and you're not gonna see
yes.
your recruiter.
Do you think that's something that you would try?
If I knew I had enough time where I wasn't, like, where I thought it was going to pass through my system, then yes.
Okay. So you seem really hesitant about edibles. Like,
mm-hmm.
smoking, you're very
I'm,
kind of blasé about, whereas
I'm
edibles,
not,
you seem really hesitant.
I'm not hesitant about them. I just, you know, I haven't had as many interactions with them.
Okay.
So you're not familiar with it? Like,
yes.
With how you're going to react and how your body is going to react. And that's kind of where the hesitation lies, not because of the substance that's in it,
right.
Or the amounts.
I was wondering if you had a horror story or somebody that you knew that had a bad
experience.
I mean,
if it was just the time and place I was comfortable with, then.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm sure I'd try them, but.
I kind of like everything that you're saying, though. I mean, not that we're supposed to like that, but you're very in tune with yourself and, you know, what's acceptable for you and when and where and how it is acceptable and, like, the awareness of this can affect me in a certain way and I don't want to be at work if it does. You know, that takes some kind of, like, you're taking some kind of responsibility for yourself.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that all drugs are bad. I think it's all about how you use them and just knowing what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I feel like marijuana is safer than something like alcohol, which is legal, because at the end of the day, like, one, the high is going to last for 4 hours as compared to, like, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to have to worry about alcohol poisoning or overdoing it or, you know, even being sick in the morning
mm-hmm.
of the hangover.
Would you say it's typical to not be afraid of marijuana overdose, whereas you are afraid of overdoing it on alcohol?
Yes, and because I've had a couple of instances where I feel like I was kind of walking the line with overdoing it on alcohol.
Okay.
But I've never experienced that with marijuana.
And I would say a takeaway for us would be really talking about the precautions. You're saying, you know, you personally take a lot of precautions and what you're using, when you're using, and who you're using with.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, like, don't ever do that, just saying, you know, we know that we can't tell you what to do, and if you were ever in an instance, it might be important to talk about those precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's fair?
Yeah.
I just want to ask real quick, because we don't get to talk to a lot of young people. I want to ask about social media and whether or not substances play a role in your social media use. So first of all, are you on Snapchat, Facebook, yeah. Instagram, any of those?
Yes.
So what social media avenue do you use the most, or app do you use the most?
Probably I use Snapchat. I'm not a big social media user.
Okay.
But as far as like seeing substances used on social media, I probably have to say like Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably where I see it the most. I see it on some Snap stories.
So what do you see on Instagram?
Usually it's like kind of flexing what people are smoking.
Okay.
So it's
just
kind of marijuana.
Like showing off. Yeah, it's marijuana. I think most people are pretty uncomfortable with like somebody doing hard drugs like crack or.
So that's not something that you would see on
or
Instagram?
Alcohol?
No. Alcohol for sure. You would see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Snapchat. We have heard that you can buy drugs very easily on Snapchat. Is that something that you're aware of?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Have you ever personally bought drugs, or has it always been somebody else's?
I've never bought drugs myself.
Okay.
Going back to Instagram, are these your friends who are kind of doing the flexing, or do you follow any?
I would say like some of it is friends, but I would say the majority of it is big content creators, like, you know, World Star or something like that.
Okay. And so do you follow any influencers, or would it be just big, like, big orgs? Would they be even considered organizations, or
I'm, like, too
they...
old. I don't know what World Star is.
Yeah, so, because it's not a person. It's a platform.
Yeah.
So is it, like, a brand? Do they sell things? What is it?
It's a compilation of...
Yeah, it's, like, a hip-hop
right.
kind of like a compilation,
That answers all my questions.
It's
just
it's an
entertainment.
Right,
sort of.
There we go.
Okay.
And so are those what you're following, not really specific people?
I would say it's a mix of both. Everybody, I think people who use Instagram, you know, they follow both like content creators like that and
mm-hmm.
then just their friends. And so, like I said, it's a mix, but the vast majority of it I see is from content creators.
Okay. And you don't see things that you're uncomfortable with? All the things that you see are pretty well in your comfort zone?
I would say so. I mean, some of it's a bit over the top, but that's the whole point.
Okay, you know, describe to me over the top.
You know, somebody who's smoking a blunt that's the size of their arm or something. Just,
okay.
You know, something that's supposed to be showy.
Something very dramatic.
Yeah.
Okay. So then your comfort zone would be alcohol and marijuana, and that's the majority of what you see, except for like the really dramatic instances of those two substances. Is that a fair summary?
I would say like from friends, that would be the majority of what I see. From like kind of influencers, it's more of that flashy showmanship type. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's so interesting, because when we were discussing social media, I didn't even think about content creators, whereas I would think specifically of like an Addison Rae, like a specific person.
Uh-huh.
Whereas you have these pages whose jobs and how they get paid are posting other people's content constantly, and it's just randomized. So you're seeing all of this stuff.
Yeah, we don't even ask about that. We ask about influencers, but that's not even something we've touched on.
That's kind of like what World Star is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it just posts other people's content.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's pretty much it for us.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have gotten in high school that you had to learn as a young adult?
Like what you guys were talking about, just trying to avoid the things that are going to kill you, and, like cheap kind of, laced things, or just,
So you really want to see more education on safe consumption as opposed to abstinence?
Yes.
Okay. That's a hard line to walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard line to walk, but I really do appreciate that feedback, and I think that that's really honest. Do you think that young people, or do you think that you as a young person were receptive to marijuana messaging, or did you think that, you know,
it's a joke.
Yeah, it's kind of something that you already felt you knew about. So
like anti-marijuana?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like it was a joke.
Okay, so is there anything that we can say about marijuana and its effects on your health that are effective in your opinion?
For me personally, the thing that I would consider the most, like the thing I'm most worried about is obviously operating, like driving or something like that, in like your surroundings.
Okay.
Whether it's a safe place to do it, and then second, you know, it's worse than smoking a cigarette, probably. I mean, you're not having a filter.
Okay.
So just because I think there's a lot of people who say it's healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's healthy for you unless you've been prescribed it. I don't think it's as bad. I don't think it's that bad for you either.
Okay. So really focusing on safe use, mm-hmm. as opposed to educating on why it's not safe.
Yeah. I mean, I think they should still know why it's not safe.
Absolutely.
But I would focus more.
The takeaway would be safe consumption.
That's right.
And surroundings.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to give your perspective today. It's always incredibly helpful whenever we can talk to young people, because we don't think of a lot of the things that you've shared with mm-hmm. us. And so when we're trying to have these conversations with the junior high and high school kids, we're too far removed from that environment. So interviews like this really help us to understand what we're missing and how young people are looking at substance use. So thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dylan.
Invest, Dylan.